This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, and well, just going to be me. You're stuck with little old me this week, and unfortunately, could not come on the show this evening. So just me, and well, as they say, the show must go on. So we got hockey to talk about. So let's just go ahead and get right to it. So three games played, one regulation win, one shootout loss, and one regulation loss. Let's just get to the first one. Not going to focus on any one game in particular. They each had their own kind of flavor. So we're kind of just going to go over the general feel of the game. Not going to get too deep into any aspect of it. So the first one was last Tuesday against the Florida Panthers to round out the Southern road trip. And this was the regulation loss. Now, Florida has slowly but surely developed a reputation as the team that won't die. No lead seems to be safe against this team, as evidenced by their recent play. And this game was obviously no different. So let's go over the summary. So Connor McMichael, about 5:52 in, with the rundown, with the opener, his third of the year. Jensen and Orlov on the assist. Nice wrister there. Beck Malenstein. Malenstein. His first ever NHL goal, assisted by Brent Leeson and TVR. Set your DVR to TVR. 11 seconds later, off to the races were the Caps, 2-0. So 6 minutes in, barely 6 minutes in, you got a 2-0 lead against the Florida Panthers. And then Jumbo Joe makes it 2-1, 52 seconds later. So, yeah, kind of a wild first period. And in the second period, Caps jumped out to a 3-1 lead. Lars Eller with his second, Wilson and Orlov with the assist, 6:40 into the second. Exactly 6 minutes later, Nick Jensen makes it 4-1 with his third, Haglin and Dowd, the assists on that one. And you kind of figured, this is the thing I'm beginning to dread. You know how they have that thing, if you watch on NBC Sports Washington, they have that thing where they show the betting panel where it's like, they show the probability of the win for the team that's in the lead and the team that's behind, and they have that green arrow, red arrow thing, and the probability and all that. If you make the bet, you know, I'm a betting man. I love sports betting, but I'm starting to dread seeing that, because lately, every time we've seen that, the Caps haven't done well with the lead. And yeah, it just, I don't know. I don't think it's because of that, but it just doesn't bode well. So it's kind of a bad omen, unfortunately. So yeah. And then, well, so of course they displayed something like that for this game after the second period, during the second intermission. So off to the third we go, and yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4 straight goals. Four straight goals, one of which was a shorthanded goal, two of which were given up on the power play, no thanks to really, really bad penalties. And I look, I don't mind telling you all this, but I was really, really, really ticked off after this game, because this to me, more than anything, look, I know there's going to be some of you when you hear me say this, but they don't have much choice. All the injuries, all the what's going on. Yeah, I get that. But the point I'm trying to make is this is why you don't just simply give rookies time on ice, extended time on ice, because they have to earn it. And how do they earn it? They earn it through doing the right thing, doing the simple things the right way. Okay. Taking a penalty late, taking a cross-checking penalty when you know the league is cracking down on that shit. Pardon my French. You gotta know. I don't care if you've been riding the pine so much that Paul Bunyan's your girlfriend. I don't care. You gotta know. Now, I don't care if your belly is full of nachos from the press box. You still gotta know that the league is cracking down on that stuff. So you're Dennis Cholowski, and you cross-check somebody, and you put your team a man down when you're only up by a goal. What are you doing? What are you doing? And it's no coincidence that he hasn't seen the ice since. All right? So, I mean, it only reinforces my point. You don't just get handed the ice time you want because you're a rookie and, oh, you got to play the young guys. They deserve time. That's been my point all along. Ice time is earned. It's not given. It's never given. It's earned. Always earned. And it doesn't matter if you've got the young legs and you've got the potential. You still got to do the right things on the ice. And a lot of the rookies didn't this game. Now, the second penalty, I'm willing to, some of you guys out there in the Facebook room kind of debated me on this. Look, I will give Beck Malenstein a bit of a break on this. I think it's entirely within the realm of possibility that Sergei Bobrovsky dove. In fact, I'll be willing to believe that. But the problem is, the problem I have with that play is you still shouldn't be that close. He skated through the crease. What did he think was going to happen? You know? So that's the problem I had with that play. Now, in a game that close, you know the refs are waiting to pounce, waiting to call something. They don't want to decide the game, and yet, you know, I don't know how else to explain it. And unfortunately, we still don't know. Most of us still don't know the criteria for goaltender interference. I'm willing to admit that. It differs seemingly from minute to minute, much less game to game. But, you know, what did he think was going to happen when he skated through the crease, you know, in a close game? That's what was going to happen. And ultimately, that led to the power play goal by Sam Reinhart that decided the game with 15 seconds left and resulted in the regulation loss. And like I said, I don't mind telling you, I was really, really cheesed off to the point of I put it this way. There are some pots and pans that were a bit misshapen after I handled them, and I'll leave it at that. All right, so let's quickly run down the vitals. Obviously, the one that mattered the most, not just the total shots on goal, but the shots on goal per period. The third period alone, the Florida Panthers put 27 shots on goal in the third period alone. 27. That is the same amount of shots as the Caps had the entire game. You want to know how many shots the Caps had against the Panthers? 2 in that same period. And yes, I get it. Not just the rookies making the mistakes, cost them the game. I get that. Foot off the gas. This is what you get. Yes, I totally get it. I buy into that argument. They stopped playing just as Coach Laviolette said. They stopped playing. They quit. They didn't work. They didn't make the effort. Took the foot off the gas, however you want to say it. Got lazy? Say whatever you want. Throw in whatever negative, pejorative, bad word you want about their play. It resembled what floats in a toilet, is what it was. There are no two ways about it. And it's like Anna and I keep saying, or have been saying for a lot of episodes, you got to play a 60-minute game. They didn't. They quit at 41 minutes. And it cost them. And what's really frustrating is that they didn't seem to learn the lesson, as we'll find out in the next game. So we'll go over to the next game, which was back in home sweet home in the friendly confines of Capital One Arena. The R-Caps would go up against the much maligned Chicago Blackhawks, who, if you've been paying attention, have had their own brand of topsy-turviness occurring this year. Before I get to the stats, the summary, I want to put this out there. I think really what I saw a tweet, and I wish I could remember who put it out there, but the comments made by this person who tweeted, and I do apologize that I'm not crediting you, but it certainly wasn't me. But this person tweeted that Garnet Hathaway's reaction in the post-game presser basically said it all, in that they probably took Chicago a lot, too lightly, much too lightly than they should have. And, well, yeah, no, that's their approach to the game was just wrong. Now, that's not to say they didn't play overall a bad game, but I think their approach to the game, given the fact that they were so very obviously outplayed in the last 20 minutes, in a game that they should have won, this being another game that they should have won. Well, they came away with a point because they lost in the dreaded shootout. But yeah, and of course the one thing, there was a lot of that. I was about to say before I was interrupted that there was a lot of the sound of the hitting of the post. Yeah, just like that. Many, many different times in the game. So I suppose you could say that, yes, we get it. I suppose you could say that in a sense, it was a bit of a game of luck, although I don't like to attribute things. I don't like to attribute luck too much, although there is such a thing as puck luck, and there is an element of luck in the sport of ice hockey. But you know, it's also how you approach the game, as I mentioned it, and also, all right, we get it. They hit the post a lot. In fact, the Washington Post is sponsoring this episode. All right, knock it off. Sorry about that. Anyway, I mean, it was that coupled with the fact that their approach to the game could have been a lot better given what happened the game before. They really should have come out breathing fire and angry. I didn't think I saw enough of that. Goals on our end scored by Nick Dowd, who was, I think this was, I got to double check, but it was either this game or the Florida game that was his return from injury. I got to double check. No, he was in the Florida game. Okay, so this was like his second or third game back since the injury. And so, Nick Dowd, of course, they were behind 1-0 thanks to Alex DeBrincat. But Nick Dowd tied it up, minute 10 into the second. And it was a seesaw game after that. Goals by Kuznetsov and Hathaway, who actually put them up 3-2 a minute into the third period. And then Seth Jones tied it, and then they went to the dreaded skills competition, and we all know what happened there. And I'm not going to discuss it because everybody who's a regular listener to the show knows I can't friggin' stand the gosh darn shootout. I'm trying to clean things up on behalf of a returning fan, Gunnar Dean. Hopefully you're listening, Gunnar, and glad to see that you've recovered, made a great recovery. Good to see that you're definitely on the mend. Great seeing you back in the DMV Caps room and True Caps fan zone. Great seeing you back after those couple weeks of being really, really, really under the weather. So thanks much. Speaking of under the weather, also Tom Gobble, I hear, who was on before the season started with me to do the dedication to Mike Stepp. Sorry, you're feeling bad too, as well. So, got a couple fans who are not feeling too well right now. So, Tom, Gunnar, thanks for hanging in there, and hope you're doing much, much better than you have been or will be soon. Okay, so thus endeth that game. Wow, this, if you look at the stats, I mean, it kind of a strange game. It was split down the middle as far as goals and the face-off duties, 50-50, 28 shots each. Chicago had 2 power play chances, got 1. Caps had 1 chance, didn't make anything of that. Block shots, 14-15, possession, pretty even. Shots on goal per period, also, well, naturally pretty even. No real advantage. This is kind of a back and forth game. I don't think anybody really had a bad game. I think, like I said, the approach kind of doomed them, and you would have thought this was a team that was going to, feast on a team that hasn't been doing very well, but just, I don't know. They just didn't seem to get up for it. I'm not sure if it's the lineup changes or what it is that may be affecting them. You would hope not, but I don't know. This is one of those head scratchers where you would have thought going in, okay, well, it's either going to be, Caps by 2, or it's definitely going to finish in regulation with a Caps win, but just not to be. Not that Chicago should have been taken lightly, but they just weren't. It's just one of those things. And as I said, you combine that with the puck luck that occurred, all the hit posts, and here we are. But at least they got 1 point out of it. But still, back to back losses. And that doesn't do you much good. So that was the second game of the week that we're covering. So it's on to the Saturday game, last night's game, which is the second of the 4-game homestand, against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And it was also a tale of two games. It was a pretty solid game, probably another perfect game that they played of sorts, except for maybe, I want to say, about the first 9 minutes of the third period. But the other 51 minutes, they played very well. And that first 9 minutes, of course, is where they pretty much let down and allowed the Blue Jackets back into the game briefly. They had a 2-0 lead after three. Alexis Protas with his second, assisted by Schultz with his second assist. Schultz back in the lineup, thank goodness. And Ovechkin, the captain, with his 20th of the year, 17th straight season with 20 or more goals. And 750 for his career, assisted by John Carlson. And that was at 3:12 of the second. And they carried the game pretty much. And you can see in the overall play and possession stats and the overall play and shots on goal for sure. And then, like I said, I think they let down a bit. Craig Laughlin pointed it out during the game. First 9 minutes, they let the Jackets back in. Eric Robinson sneaks in for his third with a tip-in. Danforth and Werenski with the assists on that one. And that was around the 6.5-minute mark. And I think the Caps finally figured out, okay, well, you know, we can't, we got to finish this game. And they finally did. And they flirted with the magical McNugget minute goal. It was actually 18:33. So it missed by 27 seconds. But alas, no McNuggets for all of us are out there. I'm sure you're all very, very disappointed about that. But Garnet Hathaway, 18:33 of the third, seals it, ices it, whatever you want to do with it, puts the diaper on it, however you want to call it, with the empty netter to make it 3-1 at that point. So three stars of the game, of course, the captain, number one star, Alexis Protas, and Robinson with the third star. Shots on goal of the game. Caps were clearly in control, 32-18. But I want to point out something, and this is maybe if I get Blake from the Chirpin DMV podcast on here, maybe he can explain this to me. But faceoffs are really a hard stat to kind of nail down and figure out. Now, I want you guys' opinion on this if you're listening, when you're listening, that is. But if you look at, this is probably the worst on the dot performance overall. 34.1%. 34.1. Horrible. Terrible. Stinkeroo. That means they only won one out of every three faceoffs. And yet, the Caps clearly controlled 90% of the play. And it was that other 10% was only because they let down. So you tell me, when is winning the majority of the faceoffs important? It obviously was not in this game. And so that kind of says to me that it's not just winning the faceoff, it's what you do after you win the faceoff. I mean, to a lot of us, yeah, kind of Ted Peters, you know, kind of Captain Obvious. I get that. But to some, maybe not so much. So yeah, I would be very interested on you loyal listeners' thoughts on when is winning the majority of the faceoffs more important than anything else. No, as I've heard once, you know, it's not exactly a stat that tends to move the needle. So, Caps were very physical in this game. That may be another element as to why they controlled this game. 30 hits to 18 for the Jackets. Shots on goal, only one period Caps did not have double digits in was the third. And like I said, it was pretty much because they let off the gas in the first 9 or 10 minutes. Other than that, like I said, pretty good game, pretty good play overall. Nothing really to complain about, I would say, from my point of view. Other than like I said, it was a bit of a boring game, but you know, give me a game that, you know, will put you to sleep as long as your guys are doing the right things, playing the 200-foot game, you know, doing all the right things as far as not giving up bad opportunities, cleaning up your own end, keeping possession, making the most of your opportunities. Caps had it in spades this game, so can't really complain about anything other than that first 9 minutes of the third. So when you put all of this together, I really hope that when you get down to it, I really hope that the team learned a lesson here, especially the rookies, in that, well, as we've been saying many, 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 many times, you got to play a 60-minute game. You got to play a 60-minute game. And I said no less than the same thing. I want to give a shout-out to one of my good friends, Josh Kirby, of the Kirby on Sports podcast. He hosted a recent Twitter space conversation and graciously let me on to speak about the Caps for a few minutes. I said the very same thing then, 60-minute game. And look, I mean, you want to hang your head in shame? Look at what the Washington football team did. Did they quit in the fourth quarter? Did they quit towards the end of the game? No. And they came away with a win. So how many times am I going to compare the Caps to the Washington football team unfavorably? So if that don't get some heads turning, that don't get some minds thinking, some brains churning, some water boiling, toilets flushing, I don't care at this point. Nothing will. Because they need to take a lesson from this week in that points are valuable and they're not to be just thrown away. These are regular season games, yes. And regular season compared to the playoffs doesn't really matter. But the regular season is where, one, you get your ticket to the show. Two, you work out and hopefully weed out some bad habits. And three, you show the league who you are to some extent. So I really, really hope our Washington Capitals took a lesson from this whole week combined and figured out, oh, this is what we got to do. This is the game we have to play. This is the effort we have to put out. I mean it. I'm not kidding. They want to succeed in the playoffs. They're going to have to ramp up the effort they put out in the regular season. So if they don't want to do it in what they think is a throwaway game, what's going to happen to them come playoff time? I don't know about you, but I don't want to see another one and done. I don't think this team will fall victim to another one and done. They have the legs, the tools, and some way, somehow, the goaltending will come about. And speaking of which, I think, at least for the time being, I think the goaltender controversy has been solved. As long as Ilya Samsonov has decided to rededicate his game, which it looks like he has, I think the goalie debate is solved. I think Samsonov, these past 3.5 weeks, has clearly made himself the 1A and Vanacek the 1B. So I say you make Samsonov, you give him as many starts as he can handle in a row, maybe not more than 2 or 3 or 4. And then you get Vanacek in there to spell him, certainly on the back end of a back-to-back or something like that. So I think for the time being anyway, I don't think it's been answered forever, but for the time being, I think the goalie situation has been settled. So that was one good result out of this past week. And if you don't believe me, see the whole third period of the Florida game. That's all I got to say about that. All right. So, okay. So on to previews of coming attractions. So this week we have 3 games, the final 2 of the homestand, first of which is Monday night, 7 o'clock puck drop at Capital One. against the Anaheim Ducks. Can't wait to see that. I hope they get revenge against them. I hate that team. I really hate that team. Talk about a bunch of jerks. I just don't like them. I just don't like them. I don't know what it is exactly. It's just the way they play, but I really hope they beat them, because I hate that team almost as much. Well, not almost as much, but certainly not as much as Pittsburgh. But put it this way, I can respect a team like Pittsburgh because they have talent and they know what to do with it. I can't respect a team like Anaheim. I just can't. And it's for a lot of reasons, none of which I'm going to get to here. I'm not going to waste time on that, but I just hope they beat the crap out of Anaheim, because I just don't like that team. And then, speaking, of course, of Pittsburgh, that's who they play to round out the weekday week on Friday night. Also, 7 o'clock puck drop, December the 10th. Another tilt against the Penguins. That one. Okay, so I'll warn you guys, that one is that's not going to be on NBC Sports Washington. That is going to be on the Plus, not NBC DC Plus, but ESPN Plus is where you're going to catch it, and Hulu. So if you need to make alternate arrangements, do so. Please do so, because you will not be seeing it on NBC Sports DC at all. You're going to see Joe B., Locker, Alan May, and Alexa Landestoy talk about it, but you're not going to see the actual game on NBC SDC. So do what you got to do. Worst come to worst, put on the radio, however you listen to it, through the earbuds, the speakers, what have you, and get Big John Walton on, Ken Sabourin on, listen to them. Better than nothing. In fact, it's better than a lot of coverage you'll get. That's for damn sure. But just wanted to warn you guys, it's going to be another one where a lot of you folks that haven't already switched, made that arrangement, you're going to miss out, possibly. So that's Friday night's game. That's the first, actually the first of a back-to-back home and road. Next game is up in Buffalo, 7 o'clock puck drop up there against the Sabres. And that actually rounds out the week, but begins a three-game road trip. And kind of a light week next week. They don't play again until next Wednesday, the 15th, against Chicago again. 8 o'clock puck drop there. And first tilt against the Winnipeg Jets, I believe. I want to be sure they haven't. First tilt against the Jets this season up there. Also, 8 o'clock puck drop. That's a Friday night as well, the 17th. And that's going to round out the next 2 weeks. So, bit of a light week. Caps get kind of a nice little break in the schedule for once. Let some bumps and bruises heal, thank goodness. So I think that's going to be pretty good for them. Hopefully we'll see maybe Nick Backstrom. Of course, TJ Oshie's already made his return. I think you're going to see him come out and play with some fire. I think he was a little bit tentative in the CBJ game. Also, he's kind of mentoring Connor McMichael a bit. So I think you're going to see a lot more fire and guns a-blazing from TJ in the next few games as he gets his legs under him again. So just some stuff to look out for in the next 2 weeks. So wanted to put that out there for you loyal listeners. So be you from the Commonwealth of Virginia, the state of Maryland, and of course the District of Columbia, and anywhere else around this big wide world of ours, thanks once again for joining me. Do please spread the word. We're on Podbean, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, every distributor there is. Tell a friend about it. Please download and subscribe to our show. Our website is Blue Liner, BLULINER 77.podbean, podbean.com, BlueLiner77.podbean.com. is our website. You can stream from there, stream from just about most every service there is as well. Also working on, there's a DC podcast group, apparently. I'm talking to them, see if they would be interested in having us on. So hopefully they'll be another distribution channel. But for those who do listen regularly, thanks once again. I hope you're having a great holiday season so far. One way or another, we'll be on again next week to deliver you, as only we can, the up and comings of the Caps hockey. So good place to stop here. Kind of a mediocre week, but I think the Caps can take a lesson from it and do right by themselves and us and learn from it and move on. So for all of us here, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that, well, I'm not going to name the city, but there was a town actually that legalized marijuana, but at the same time also decided to ban alcohol. Well, you know what happened to them, right? They were left high and dry. You know, I don't know why I was expecting anything different this week. It's usually crickets that I get, and now it's dead silence, and I don't know what's worse.
Sorry, I was a little late on the mute button.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.